welcome to the Antimatter Radio Show, live from West Lafayette, Indiana, June 23, 2009. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. There's many topics I want to discuss tonight, but I want to start off discussing religion. I had to think about that for a second, exactly what I wanted to discuss. Religion is, as I've said in past shows, the most powerful tool a human being has. We've been fooled in our society to think that science, television, money, war, weapons, things like this are more powerful. Now, some of those things I just did give you are powerful. Science is enormously powerful. Weapons are enormously powerful. Money, when used properly, can be enormously powerful. But none of those is anything next to the power of religion. Sort of reminds me of the movie Star Wars, fantastic movie from 1977, which all of you have seen, where Darth Vader says early in the film, "The power of the Force is insignificant next to the ability." The quote goes, "The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force." That's what Darth Vader says when all the secret government cronies are in their secret chamber discussing how they're going to control the universe. And he basically says, "Your power is nothing compared to the real power of the divine that is everywhere. And few have seen it, few have felt it, few know what it's made of, or can even start to write some poetry about it." I say poetry because you can't write it in analytic or scientific terms about the ultimate power of the universe, the ultimate power of reality, because it is ineffable. Ineffable means it's beyond words. So therefore, you only can come up with poetry. In fact, just so you know, I have a poetry book that is going to be, I'm going to put it on Lulu, lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, in the next couple days. It's a collection of about 200 poems that I've written over the last 15 years. And if you're interested, you can purchase that. It's going to be just like $1 to download it, and probably $3 or $4 to buy a paper copy. And since we're at it, the website for this show is antimatterradio.com. That's AntimatterRadio.com. And you can get all the archives from past shows and other information about this show. Okay, so back to discussing religion. Religion is the most powerful force in the universe, and that's exactly why you're tricked into thinking that it's not the most powerful force in the universe, because our world is being ruled by a secret government, which a lot of you probably listening to the show don't even know what that is, or if you do, you probably don't even have a very good glimpse, and even if you think you know a lot about it, trust me, you don't. I don't even know a lot about it. Okay, if you think you do, then tell me who the people are that are giving the orders to the Bilderberg Group. See what I mean? You don't have a clue who that is. Nobody, hardly anybody does unless you're inside that group. So that group may not, nobody knows where the power of that group comes from, where they've obviously got practice in ruling our lives. The end chain of that power may not be human. It may be extraterrestrial. And there's a lot of good evidence for that that I've talked about in past shows. Okay, so the reason religion is the power of the universe is because all religion is about two things. One, about the cosmic light that is everywhere. I'm not sure if it's identical to the universe or it's inside the universe at all places, sort of an omnipresent force, or it's not distinct, or it's not identical to matter, it's distinct from matter. Nobody's really sure. There's lots of theories and a lot of science, especially quantum physics, that can go into trying to figure out exactly what this cosmic force is. But what I think it is I think it's identical to reality. I think it is what reality actually is, and it's not made of matter. So therefore, all the matter that we see with our eyes is not quite so real. It's our senses misinterpreting the energy, the spiritual force that is everything. Now, that may sound, a lot of Christians may have a big problem with this and think, oh, we've just committed blasphemy. You can't say the divine is identical to the universe. Well, I'm saying I'm not sure, first of all. And second of all, I'm not so sure that you're right about that interpretation of Christianity. There's a lot of Christians that really want to make strong strides to make sure that we say the universe is not divine and humans are not divine. Nothing is divine except God. God is divine. Everything else is not. Well, the problem is that doesn't match up with the Bible too well. When you look at verses like John 10:34, where Jesus tells the angry mob of Jews that they are gods, or Colossians 3:11, where Jesus it is told that humans are Christ. And then, of course, Genesis 1, where we're told that we're in the image of Elohim. Now that's often called God or the creators or something. A lot of discussion of what that means. So, there's a lot of other verses like that in the Bible, so that Christian interpretation I just simply have to flatly reject if I read the Bible. Okay, and then all the other religions, of course, have the same fact, which is to describe humans as being, having something to do with divinity as their composition, their makeup. Okay. And also the rest of reality has either, like Christianity, for example, says God is everywhere, omnipresent. Okay, so the spiritual power, the ultimate religious force, is in all places. So Christianity may hold the philosophical position that reality is not equal to this God force. It, instead, the God force coincides with it. It is at all places, coinciding with the universe. Now, other religions like Buddhism often don't say that. They'll say something, I guess you could say, stronger, which is that there is only the God force, only the spiritual divine power. So, anyways, so religions are maps. Well, wait a minute. I said the religions are about two things, didn't I? So, first of all, religions are about telling you about this spiritual power that is everywhere, and which you can see if you just take a couple steps to do that. What are those steps called? Well, they're called meditation. They're called prayer. These are technologies, and the religions are about that. The second thing that religions are about is what I call telementation. Now, a lot of you know that I have a book coming out. It was supposed to be out about a month ago, but publishers, a little bit of a delay. My publisher is quite busy, I'm happy to say. It's coming out in a couple days. It's called Telementation. And it's about the ability to control reality with your mind. Now, that is reality. Consciousness controlling reality is what reality is. Okay, if you don't know that, well, listen to past shows. That's just because you haven't been paying attention to what your mind has been doing. You've just been looking outward and not been looking inward in that solitude that is inside you to see the correlations between the two. Okay, so anyways, this book I have coming out is all about that. Now, religions are all about doing that as well. Buddhism, in particular, in many aspects, is all about how consciousness creates reality. Hinduism as well. And then there's also my telementation book. I have passages from Christianity where Jesus says, with your faith you can move mountains, or move that mountain, and so forth. So those are what I take are the two things religions are about. Now, there's probably a third thing that we should say that religions are about. And that third thing is history, okay? And you can listen to the past shows here, so I don't have to repeat all this information now. But the history you're given in school is false, and quickly, the reason I can say that is because there's no evidence for it, okay? Somebody go and try to give me some evidence that we came from chimpanzees or that just pick any topic to do with history, that the pyramids were built by thong-wearing slaves or something. There's no evidence for any of this. This is all theory. It's all junk. And as I said in past shows, such as the show 2 weeks ago, you can easily, if you just look at the evidence, what you can see with your eyes, the scientific point of view, you can get the correct view of history. And that correct view of history is something to do with that humans and or beings that were on planet Earth working with humans in some way were tremendously powerful. Their consciousnesses were tremendously more developed compared to humans now, which are sort of in a sad state, I'm very unhappy to say. Now, take for example Baalbek, what I talked about 2 weeks ago. It's a monument or a temple in Lebanon, which there's no way we know how to build that now with our current technology. Nobody has a clue how to build it, as I said 2 weeks ago. So that means that either there were other creatures, let's start with this. Humans either were much more advanced and had much more superior technology in the past, and they built that. Or the only other option I can think of is some other creatures, intelligences, were more advanced than humans are now and created it, or perhaps the third position, a collaboration of the two. Regardless, we have direct, see with your own eyes, evidence that this past exists. This is the most powerful information anywhere that I'm giving you right now. It changes everything about anything you've ever thought about you and the world or anything. It disproves all this junk you're taught in any school anywhere. Okay? It's absolutely unbelievable. Pure science, because it's what you can see with your eyes. Okay? Unlike, you know, for example, here's what's junk science. Junk science is CO2 from your car is causing global warming. Why is that junk non-science? Called junk science or non-science? Because you can't see it. Somebody go point to that. You can't point to it. Okay? If you can't point to it, it's not scientific information. It's theory. And if it's theory, then politicians can take it over and start to manipulate you with it. But anyway, let's get back to the history and all these religious books, all these religions. So Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, shamanism, Wicca, Christianity, Judaism, they all, any religion you want to mention, they all have the same history. Okay? They all have the history of these beings from the sky. You can call them star creatures, for example, came and created humans. Now, for some reason, people I talk to just can't. They want to believe something else. I mean, this is right out of the Bible, right out of the Quran, right out of Tibetan Buddhism and shamanism, etc. Okay, and it's the most straightforward, simple, easy thing to get your mind around. Why? Because it's just genetic engineering. Okay, the best theory I know of. There's a guy named Paul Von Ward who wrote a book called God's Genes and Consciousness. Just, I recommend it to all of you. It's just absolutely tremendous book. Paul Von Ward is wonderful. Sometime we'll have him as a guest on this show when I can get myself to stop talking so much. So I was reading his book over the weekend about how I call it the splice theory. There's probably others that have different names for it. But the splice theory is just where you take the genetic information of one creature and mix it with the genetic information of another creature and put it in a cell. And if you mix them just right, you can create a hybrid of the two. Okay? Now, nature does this. We know what everyone knows what a mule is. It's a donkey and a horse. When they reproduce, I guess you call it a mule. And it's a sort of a third type of creature, not identical to the horse or the mule or a donkey. Okay, there's lots of examples of this in nature. And I mean, humans do this. I mean, if you have somebody who's black and somebody who's white and they have a child, the beautiful child will have often a mix of the two skin colors. So it's absolutely wonderful how nature can do this. Okay, so why can't humans do this? It's just simply technology. And the answer is, well, they can. And we are doing this kind of thing. Just go look it up. Go look up gene splicing, genetic engineering, and so forth. Scientists are doing it all over the place. They've been doing this for a decade, more. It's just you're not hearing about it on NBC and, you know, and your commercials between American Idol. I'm not suggesting any of the listeners of this show are glued to those shows. But, I mean, you're not told about it. You have to go look for the information. It doesn't, you know, it's not like Britney Spears where you just sign into Google News and there's 10,000 stories about Britney Spears and Madonna and Obama and everything else. Okay, so the gene splicing theory, the theory that I like for a lot of reasons is the theory that the Elohim, let's call it, that's in Genesis 1, this entity, I'm trying to be safe in my words here because some people don't want to say it's plural, even though Elohim is a plural word. Go follow the translation. Even your mainstream Christians will tell you that. So whoever this entity, these entities were that created us, that the religions talk about, my theory is, no, it's a theory, because I can't point to this like I can point to Baalbek or the pyramids or so forth. But there are some things that make me want to create some things about humans, like our huge brain and the fact that we can have religious experience and the fact that we can develop complex mathematics and our sexual preferences and that we don't have hair compared to other animals, all kinds of things like that, make me want to think that the Elohim spliced themselves with a creature on Earth, a primate, some beast of some sort, And we're a halfway point between that beast and the creator, creators, Elohim. Okay. Now, some of you getting all upset thinking I'm hearing me say creators and say, no, there's not a creator. There's just one God created humans. I don't mean to offend. I'm just quoting the Bible, okay? Go follow what Genesis 1 says. It says Elohim. God, the word God was Elohim in Genesis 1, and that's plural, okay, creators. So it's not my fault that that's that way. I'm just following the original text, the original translation. Now, a lot of Christians want to say, well, that's because it's the Trinity. Well, fine, you know, whatever. That's I like that theory, you know, whatever. I'm not endorsing that, but I just want to explain myself. So anyways, these cosmic masters, we are created in their image, as it says all over the Bible and other religions. And you can really get a grasp of how we could be created in their image, because I've said this to my college students for years when I was still teaching before I got fired from Purdue University. Interesting fact is that we have meditation. We have religious experience. Why do we have that? Okay. It's a very big clue as to what we really are. It's not just meditation and religious experience. We have paranormal experience and psychic experience. Okay, now a lot of you are not in touch with this, okay, and a lot of you don't know what I'm talking about. But this stuff is scientific, okay? What do we mean by that? Well, you can take a random number generator, a machine of some sort that really spits out random numbers, and then put a person next to it who thinks about the number 7, just have them sit there and think about the number 7 over and over, and or have them try to, you know, imagine that the machine is producing the number 7. Just have them really focus on that. And you will see during the time that they're focusing on, the machine will produce the number 7 in a way that is beyond chance, meaning that it's beyond just what it would if there was no influences, just by how many times the number 7 should show up by the percentages with respect to other numbers showing up. Number 7 will occur proportionally higher than other numbers. That's called paranormal psychic phenomena, and it's a hint. All of you could do that experiment at home, okay? That we're talking pure science again, right? Something you can point to, all right? None of this junk science, all these theories that you get, I'm sad to say, in our schools, you know. So that's very powerful information, to say the very least. There's another example. This is done at Princeton University, and you might think, oh, you're just ragging on universities now. Why are you talking about it? Well, the research was done at Princeton University sort of in the shadows, so to speak. People weren't, broadcasting this research and putting it in their college lectures and so forth. Just people would get together and work at Princeton and sort of do research when they could in this basement of some engineering building. It was called the PEAR group, P-E-A-R group. I think they broke up now, but their research is quite extraordinary. They had an experiment, for example. Let me see if I can get this right. They had several, but one of them was where if you put two people in isolation chambers next to each other and had one watch, you know, for example, a green screen on a television, and then the person in the next chamber would record their thoughts, they would find an abnormal proportion of green items in their thoughts. Now, that, I would say, is not as clear-cut as the random number generator, but it still is utterly extraordinary. And these are hints of what we really are, what we humans really are at our core. All that's covered up in us, all these powers, all this divinity, all this religiosity and spirituality and religious power we have is all covered up. It's covered up by hot dogs and TV and beer and basketball. And what I mean by basketball is, you know, watching 17 hours of playoffs a day. How about one game? That might be better, and then take some time to read a book or something. You know, but all these other things, and plus we've got our bad food that we drink and that we eat, and our bad water that has the fluoride and the chlorine, and our shots that we take, and all this stuff is just responsible for destroying our consciousness. Now, our brains are a receptacle of some sort of consciousness, because your consciousness is not identical to your brain. You can prove that really, really quickly. How do you prove that? Well, if I perform surgery on you and open up your head, which people can do, you can do that to people, you can perform surgery on their brain while they're fully awake. It happens all the time in hospitals. If I look into your brain, I don't see feelings and thoughts or anything. All I see is brain cells and blood and stuff like that, okay? So there is evidence, see it with your own eyes, evidence right there, that consciousness is not brain matter. The two are distinct, okay? Now, maybe some further research will show in the future that brain material is does involve thoughts or something. But there's nothing even remotely close to that. So at the moment, I have to go with the best theory based on the see with your own eyes evidence, and that theory is that your consciousness is not identical to your brain. Okay, so then we start to wonder, where is it? What is it? Well, your brain is just sort of some instrument or channel or something which has the ability to have your consciousness, that is what you are, transmit through it. Okay, so you really want to keep that receptacle, that instrument, that organ, tip-top shape. You want to eat a lot of omega oils. As I talked about in a past show, you know, so much of your brain is made of omega oil, especially omega-3. You want to have the most omega-3 compared to omega-6 and 9. You want to have a lot of good, healthy sea salt, really healthy vitamin, high-quality vitamin E. You eat a lot of avocados, for example. Children who have, I read in Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets, Dr. Russell Blaylock, he has an unbelievable book. All of you should just devour that book. Devour it with your intellects, that is. He has a part in there, talks about how kids who have an abnormally high proportion of vitamin E in their youth have extraordinarily better memories when they get older. I mean, that's just unbelievable information right there. So when I say vitamin E, I mean, there's a lot of companies out there creating genetically modified synthetic vitamin E. That's not vitamin E. That's just some chemical which actually is detrimental to you. It's bad for you. It causes you sickness. So whenever you see on the news where they say, oh, vitamin E is shown to be healthy, you can't have it or something, you know what they're doing is they have the synthetic vitamin E, and they do a test on it and find it's bad for you, and then they post it on the news, vitamin E is bad for you. They forget to tell you, though, it's the fake vitamin E. It's the synthetic version made in a lab. The vitamin E, the real kind, in an avocado, for example, is utterly healthy to every single part of your body. Okay. So anyways, back to talking about the brain as a receptacle. The brain is this unbelievably massive computer or instrument. It's like a super sci-fi futuristic mega computer that nobody can really figure out, at least not not in ordinary science. Part of the reason people can't figure out is because they keep trying to look for thoughts and feelings in the brain, but thoughts and feelings are not in the brain. The brain is just the receptacle for it. Okay, so, but anyways, our foods and shots and medicines and water and our air and everything is really bad for this receptacle. Take, for example, aluminum. Aluminum is in the deodorant that most of you use. It's in your baking soda. It's in your water. It's in your Teflon nonstick pans. It's in the shots that you know, when you go get your flu shot or something. Tons of aluminum in there. The aluminum is an utterly severe neurotoxin, brain cell toxin. It kills brain cells. Okay, that's not good. Okay, if you want to develop this receptacle that can let you realize the power of what you are, you don't want to be messing with aluminum or something. You don't want to have aluminum foil, and you don't want to drink soda pop cans that have all kinds of aluminum from the can coming into the soda. You don't want to drink soda pop anyways, unless it's Zevia, which is a good Stevia cola, but still it comes in aluminum cans. So the brain is this huge receptacle that other animals don't have nearly as large of one. Now, we can influence that receptacle. There was a Canadian scientist named Persinger. I'm trying to look for his book here on my shelf, see if I got the right name. Yeah, Persinger. And he developed all kinds of instruments where you could affect the magnetic fields of the brain. This is just unbelievable research. And he had one where it's the side lobes on your brain. I think they're called the temporal lobes. I think. But anyway, those side lobes in your brain, he had a helmet you could put on that would increase the magnetic influence on those lobes. And guess what happened to virtually everybody? Huge percentage of people who had this, underwent this. They had experiences of beings, alien-like super creatures, star creatures, being all around them. Absolutely unbelievable, fall down on the floor, shocking information. Okay. Now, there's two ways to interpret this information. One is the helmet is creating a hallucination in the people who wear the helmet. Okay. The other is the helmet is altering the receptacle and to where you see something that is there that you didn't see before because your brain has been enhanced to see what you couldn't previously see. You needed your brain to be restructured, to be empowered in some way to see something that you couldn't previously see. Okay? Now, so which theory is right? I guess I would have to undergo the test myself. If any of you who have done psychedelic drugs, actually I don't want to call them drugs, a lot of them, LSD is a drug, but something like psilocybin mushrooms or peyote, those are plants, okay? So any of you who have done these psychedelic religious substances know that when you're hallucinating on some of these, if you look up at the ceiling and it's waving like the ocean, I mean, you sit there and it sure does look real, but you can reach up and feel the ceiling and it's not waving. Okay, it's flat. So your eyes are playing tricks on you. But there are other psychedelic experiences you can have deeper than that. If you sit there and if you really take a powerful psilocybin mushroom, for example, a way to have powerful experiences on psilocybin mushrooms is where you sleep deprive yourself and then ingest incredible amounts of vitamin C and then have a very powerful, large mushroom caps. That will produce extraordinarily powerful psychedelic experiences. They will overtake you. And some of you know that, who have done this, know that you will see creatures, beings. You will go to places where you're not sure. You know, you can't decipher, you can't sit there and imagine that this is not real. Okay, like I'm looking at a bottle right here in my hand. See, listen. See? Let me click it so you know I really am holding it. Hear that? There's a water glass bottle here. That, I'm having trouble, in the state of consciousness that I am in now, I'm having trouble thinking that it's not real. If I had been on a powerful meditation session before the show, I may think it's a little bit less real than I do now. I'm aware that there's a religious force that is more real than that glass. But nevertheless, the glass looks real to me. There's no reason for me to doubt that it has some set, some existence, some actuality of some sort. Okay. Now, on psychedelic substances, these religious substances that all the religions talk about, like manna, for example, in Christianity, that's very likely a psychedelic substance of some sort. Soma in Buddhism or in Hinduism. These experiences you can have in these substances are so powerful that you're not quite so sure if, you don't have any reason, just like I don't have any reason to doubt that this bottle I'm staring at right now has actuality. You go into these places in these psychedelic trances and talk to creatures and beings, and you're not really sure if they are, you don't have any reason to think that they're not real. And they even can maybe feel more real than, for example, this bottle I'm looking at here. So that's extraordinary. What's happening in that experience is you're enhancing your receptacle. We're calling the brain a receptacle. You're altering it so it sees certain things that you could not see before without the help of the religious plant, the peyote, the psilocybin, the DMT, whatever. Okay, now, and as I just got done explaining, there's certain reasons to not think that, to not doubt the actuality of the places and creatures that you visit. Okay, so we're getting different indications here from Persinger's magnetic inducing helmet, the book Lost Star, which I've talked about on past shows by Walter Cruttenden, talks all about this kind of stuff, about magnetism affecting the brain. And then also these religious plants that affect consciousness. So you would have to go through these experiences yourself to see, to make up your own mind what you thought was real. But I would just make the claim that if you have been where people have gone on these shamanic journeys, on these vision quests, these meditation excursions, you would find that there's reason to not doubt that there's certain things around you that you're not seeing in your ordinary state of consciousness. That's called the ego consciousness, that are there. Okay? Now, what's interesting is the religions talk all about this. Let's just take Christianity, for example. They talk about the angels and the demons. There's apparently, angels were supposed to be helpers for humans, these angelic, wonderful creatures of great wisdom are supposed to be all around us, okay? And then other religions talk about spirit beings of various sorts being all around us. So what are we going to believe here again? We've got more see-it-with-your-own-eyes kind of evidence here, because you can alter your consciousness with the magnetism machines that we've talked about, when the psychedelic plants, and you can see this stuff with your own eyes, and maybe, you know, if you're in such a position, you can reach out and see if you can have tactile experience of these entities as well. So why do we keep talking about how, you know, see it with your own eyes evidence? Because the only thing you know in the world is what you can experience. Okay, so that's not just limited to your eyes. That's what you can see, hear, feel, taste, touch, smell, and so forth. So if you close your eyes and meditate for 10 hours, powerful meditation, and you see a vision of the angel Gabriel or something, you are having direct experience of that entity existing. Now, some of you might say, oh, well, that could just be a hallucination. Certainly, as this bottle in front of me that I'm looking at also could be a hallucination. How can I prove that that thing is real outside of me? I can't. Why? I can't. Why? Because that bottle, all my experiences of it occur in my brain mind my brain receptacle, which is the channel for my consciousness. The bottle appears to be outside of me. I mean, I look at it and it's outside of me, but where is your experience of the bottle happening? Is it happening where the bottle is or where your brain is? Obviously, the answer is it's happening where your brain is. So therefore, even though you think that that bottle is outside of you, it is inside of you. Okay. I mean, the experience of it is inside of you. And you can't, all your experiences, everything you've ever seen in your life ever, has always been in your consciousness. Okay, you've believed it's all outside of you and over here and over there and blah, blah, blah. But it's always been inside of you. Okay, your consciousness projected this belief that it's outside of you. Okay, so we can't prove the existence of anything outside of us. The only thing we can do is use religion to try to feel other entities unified with ourselves, and then maybe we can get some evidence that there's other entities outside of us. Because we're just trapped in our heads. The ego consciousness is just trapped in its head. So anyway, let's get back to talking about religion here. Let me just start over, okay? Talking about religion and meditation and these altered states and visiting with spirit guides and alien religious aliens and angels and so forth, these things fill us with joy. Why is that? Why, if you do Buddhist meditation and you have an experience of the divine light of nirvana, why does it fill you with utter, ineffable, beyond words, satisfaction? Okay? Why, when you do Christian contemplative prayer and have a mystical experience like Paul did, Saul, that is, on the road to Damascus, why does that experience fill one, this experience of the divine light of God, why does that fill you with utter joy? Okay, these are interesting questions. When you take the psychedelic plant, when you ingest it and unify with it, and it alters you so you can see more of what's out there in reality that you couldn't see previously. Why does that fill you with happiness to do that? That discovery and this contact with this reality that is imminent, that is proximate, but which you previously couldn't see. do you see a pattern here? Religion is about joy and freedom and power. Okay? All of you listening to this radio show, no matter how much you've tried to liberate yourself, all of you have been tricked. That's what hopefully some of you are getting out of this trick. But you've all been tricked by the TV, by these fake churches in America, to think that religion is something that it's not. For example, if you go to these churches, you think you're tricked into thinking that religion is just about, oh, you just say your Lord's Prayer and you believe that there's some Jesus guy flying around somewhere. And if you do, you're born again. And if you don't, well, you're going straight to hell. Okay. I mean, come on, that's not even biblical, that garbage. Okay. So, I mean, I say it's not biblical because there's so much more going on in Christianity than that. Okay. Now, the religions are your roadmaps for, as I said, meditation and telementation and history. Okay, and they're about giving us freedom and happiness. Now, other things like television, hot dogs, some boring conversation with someone. These things may give you temporary titillation. Okay, they may release you from yourself and give you sort of very low-level, shallow, escapist, fleeting happiness. Okay, very, very low-level. But it fades, and it really leaves you feeling empty because the emptiness inside you never really was covered up. It's there. Just look inside you. Religions are about turning that emptiness into a flood of joy. Okay, all the religions are devoted to this. Okay, I mean, what's take Christianity? What's the goal of Christianity? To be, to feel and experience the Holy Spirit. Now, that's mysticism right there. Okay, what to have direct experience of the religious one, called the Holy Spirit here in Christianity, to have that, have your consciousness filled with that, can only fill your consciousness with utter bliss. Okay, that's called mysticism. That's called one entity touches the other. Holy Spirit touches consciousness. And that causes a reaction of utter happiness. Now, that's the whole point of Christianity. Let's take Buddhism. Okay? Buddhism, the whole point is to fill your consciousness with the infinite light of Buddha nature. Okay, so the point of religion isn't war. I know there's a lot of war in the Bible. That's very peculiar. I think I have a lot of trouble with a lot of that. There's a book called Past Shock by Jack Barringer, which I'm reading. He thinks that Jehovah in the Old Testament is not who everybody thinks he is. He thinks he was just some sort of powerful evil warlord or something. And the Bible got sort of like in Braveheart, where early in Braveheart, he says history was written by those who hanged heroes. Barringer thinks something like that is what's going on. And that's where the Old Testament comes from. Now, there's pretty powerful, but it's theory, okay? Pretty compelling stuff. There's another interpretation of the Old Testament, since we're on this topic, that Michael Tesarian, somebody we're going to have as a guest on this show sometime pretty soon, he holds the theory that the Old Testament is actually a history of not the world from, 500 B.C. to 200 A.D. or something, which most people think, but it's actually a history of civilizations that came before Egypt, such as Sumeria or Atlantis. Now, the reason he thinks that is because the same stories that show up in the Bible show up in the older texts from, say, Sumeria, for example. So there's pretty powerful evidence to hold that theory. Now, both Barringer and Tesarian could have the same. Their positions could be mixed, but I'm not sure. Those are just interesting things to talk about. But let's get back to our topics at hand here. Let's talk about. Man, I've got a list of things here. I'm staring at my computer screen to talk about. I'm not really sure. We were talking about the splice theory, weren't we? Intervention theory. So let's talk about that a little more, and some of these other topics we can talk about next week. More the splice theory is just an extremely simple theory. Okay, it would explain why humans have paranormal tendencies. Okay, why it would explain by why we have the capacity to do Buddhist meditation and have a nirvanic experience, which is, if anybody's been there, even tasted it, it changes you forever. Okay, why you sit there and marvel, why is that in me? Why is that infinite bliss in me? Okay. Doesn't make any sense that it's there. Why would it be there? And especially doing meditation, why would that technology of meditation get me there? None of this makes any sense unless you have a theory. Notice it's a theory, like the splice theory, where the cosmic masters mixed themselves with some animal and were the final product. Okay, so that would also explain why we've got these intellects, where we can develop all this incredible mathematics. I mean, there are certain humans who mathematics just comes absolutely incredibly easy to them. They can just sit down and they can just think, you know, abstract algebra or altered complex differential equations. It's like nothing to them. They can think about ring theory and all the top quantum topology and so forth. And it's like nothing to them. Okay? That is quite fascinating to me. Okay? And also take the autistics. Okay? The autistic savants. Why, if their brain overdevelops, that's not a negative term, overdevelops, that's a complementary term, of course. Why, if their brain overdevelops in certain ways, do they have these unfathomable powers that most of us can't even really believe, where you can do complex multiplication, like you can multiply 10,741.69 times 43,921.114, and you can come up with the answer in your head in 1 second. That is, there you go. That's what we're talking about in this whole show here, okay? Most of you can't relate to that. You don't understand. How can somebody do that? But the point is they can. Why? Because their receptacle, their brain organ, has been altered in a certain way that lets their consciousness, their paranormal psychic conscious abilities become empowered. Okay, so that's what all of us are. Do you see this? All of us have a brain receptacle that can be developed. And we all have these religious powers. It's hard for some people to believe it because it's not in the New York Times, it's not on CNN, it's not in, you know, Seinfeld or something. And, you know, this we glue our minds to this stuff and that becomes our reality. Well, glue your mind to something else. Okay, glue your mind to higher powers, immortal power, the divine light of religious consciousness. Okay, the astral eye that you have, because this stuff is real. Okay, you can read my book Telementation and learn how to do telementation in a week, and you won't even believe, you'll fall off your chair in shock that telementation works. I remember when I first learned it years ago, I could not believe it. Okay, you can study, there are some, I've got a list here in front of me on my computer of all these things I want to talk about. You can study all these other topics that are scientifically provable, see it with your own eyes, proof. You can all do the experiments at home to prove it. That proves that what we are is a powerful creature, a psychic, religious, paranormal, super being. That is what humans are. You can prove it. Okay, and all of you have been tricked to thinking it's not real because it's not your fault, I guess. You've been raised in this public education system where you're taught that you're a stupid monkey. Nothing against monkeys, but just trying to get the point across, okay? So anyway, the splice theory is, it explains all this stuff, why we have this huge receptacle. I mean, chimpanzees don't have that. Where'd it come from? You know, we don't have any fossil evidence of any creatures with huge brains, except humans, okay? And those are only fossils in the very, very recent past, the last couple thousand years. There is another, this just came to my mind, there are a couple different types of big-brained fossil creatures that have been found in the very, very recent past, say the last 30,000 years. Okay, one is called Cro-Magnon. That creature was very human-like, actually had a significantly larger brain than modern humans. Unbelievable information. That's fall down on the floor, amazing information, okay? That trashes everything the evolutionary theory people have been wanting to talk about, okay? Then there's another creature called Neanderthal, which it's believed was quite sophisticated. We've apparently got some decent fossil evidence to show that they had religion, art, cities, some farming, and so forth. And then there's the most interesting creature of all, called a conehead. Now, these creatures are in museums in South America, Greece, and other places. So don't even sit here and tell me that it's not real. You can go to South America and see these skulls for yourself. Okay, what they are is just like the Saturday Night Live coneheads. They're just like that. They've got big coneheads. Okay, and it's interesting. The ancient Mayans, they depicted their gods as and their shamanic kings as having these big cone-like heads. Okay, and of course a lot of the fossils are found down in that area. Of course, there was that recent Raiders of the Lost Ark movie that was all about this too. They kind of mixed two ideas: crystal skull theory, or crystal skulls. And cone heads. Crystal skulls, of course, are another thing that are in museums. So those are real. So anyways, the cone heads, a lot of people have tried to say, oh, well, you know, the cone heads, you just easily can explain that because we all know that primitive people like to modify their bodies. Of course, contemporary modern humans do too. But primitive people like to modify their bodies and stretch out their necks and earlobes and all this kind of stuff. So the cone head is just a product of people deforming a skull. That theory does not work, and here's why. Notice I said theory. Because the theory is that you stretch out, as the head grows, you clamp it down so it grows out in one direction rather than all directions. So it doesn't form a sphere, it forms a tube, because you clamp down its ability to grow in certain directions, and so it compensates by growing in all the others. Now, that's a pretty big assumption to think that it would do that kind of growth and grow in that, kind of like if you pinch a balloon, if you squeeze half of it, then the one big part bulges out. Okay, that's the theory. Okay, now, first of all, it's an assumption that the head would respond that way, but here's the big problem. If you did that, you would have a pole sticking out of someone's head, because you couldn't have a fully elongated cone head, which is just like a big cap put on your head, because there's not enough matter. You would have to have a thinned out tube, because just like when you shrink the balloon, you're shrinking it down in one area so it expands in another. Okay, but the shrinking down part where your hands are exactly what you don't see in the cone head skulls in the museums all over the world. Okay, what you see is nothing of the sort. You see it's is not shrunk down in a place where you think the clamping happens to make it elongate in the back of the top. Okay, so I think the theory that it's from body modification is destroyed right there. If so, what do we have here? We have something, some sort of huge head and presumably ultra-massive brained creature that was all over the world. And apparently some cultures, like the Mayan, worshipped them in the recent past. This is unbelievable. This is incredible information. Why is it not on all these news stations? I mean, what are the news talking about today? Britney Spears some more? Obama? I mean, this is unbelievable. Okay, who are these creatures? Is this the Elohim? Or some extraterrestrials? Is it another just kind of human that was around? What relation do they have to us? Why were some ancient religions worshiping these people? Were other ancient religions worshiping these people? We have to get to the bottom of this. This information is it's the most powerful information. If you want to know who you are, that gives you power. And this is the kind of information that can help you do that, okay? Now, these people had an ultra-massive receptacle, okay? It's huge compared to ours. So what could they see? I mean, look at the autistic, who doesn't even need the big skull to have his brain power this savant, autistic savant, his brain power magnified so much it just boggles our mind what they can do. Okay? So what would someone with a brain twice as large as us be able to do? Answer, things that are so unbelievable we don't even know how to put them into words. Okay, there's that interesting movie, what's it called? I forgot the name of it, where that spiritual creature was haunting that Ohio town. And somebody thought it was an extraterrestrial at first. And there was a professor in town saying, well, why don't you talk to it? And then people said, oh, yeah, that's true. And then the professor responded saying, you can't talk to it. And they said, why? He said, because it's more advanced than you. And he said, well, why can't we still talk to it if it's more advanced? And the professor responded, why don't you go try having a conversation with a cockroach? Okay, see how well that works. If you're so much more advanced, the point is the conversation doesn't work. So what's there's just a lot of implications here into this cone head skull. I didn't know I'd be talking about that tonight. I'm really glad it came up. But this is, you think that you can't imagine a group of beings doing a simple task of splicing two genetic materials together to create another creature and just simple genetic engineering? You can't imagine that happening in the past with these big brain creatures walking all around? If you don't, then turn this radio show off and go watch some more TV, because there's something powerful to this information here, and it's information you get on this radio show. I don't know any other radio show who gives you all this information with the whole big picture, talking about everything that the world involves. So that's why I think this radio show is valuable, because we're not messing around here. I'm not censored anymore. I used to be censored when I was university professor. When I was fired from Purdue, I was upset. Mildly, I kind of was excited about having a break, but I was upset because I knew I'd missed the kids. I'd missed teaching, even though, as I said last week, it was not a very productive situation, to say the least, in teaching for many reasons. But now I just realized that with this radio show, and we're going to make this radio show big. It's going to go to two nights here pretty soon and then even get bigger. This radio show, I'm not censored. I can say anything I want, and we can get at the truth here. We can get as far as our brain receptacles will take us and our consciousness. We're going to get to everything here. Everything's going to be scientific. We're going to get all the facts out with see it with your own eyes, kind of science, none of this garbage, junk, pseudoscience that you get in university, which is just a bunch of theory, a bad theory, like the theory of evolution. Okay, this radio show is devoted towards big picture. We're not screwing around. This stuff is serious, okay? We're talking about power. When you talk about religion, we're talking about power, okay? So anyway, I hope all of you really cherish this information. I mean, I don't know how long we're going to have the Internet available to us. Hopefully a long time. There's, of course, people out there that want to bring it down. You know, we have to wake up as humans. I think this radio show information tonight helps us do that. Okay, I want to thank everybody for listening. Don't forget to tune back in next week. Go to antimatterradio.com for the archives of this show, or go to abstractadam.com for my main website, and we'll hit it even harder next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye.